Hello, Ben.
Hey, I don't know what happened.
Okay.
I think
well,
I tried to slide the thing to answer the call,
yeah.
And all of a sudden it hung up on you, and I don't know what happened.
I don't know. Here's something I figured out while I was calling you. I can't sing and remember your phone number at the same time. And this is exactly what I was about to say. Maybe you can't sing and remember a number at the same time. Like maybe it's a different part of the brain and that shorts itself out. Which is why the song 8675309 is so important. Because you can remember a phone number by singing it.
I'm just impressed that you remember my phone number anyway. I don't know anybody's phone number except Annex Theaters.
Oh, man, I used to call your number all the time before I programmed names or anything into phones. So
yeah, and I probably called you too, but I let that part of my memory go.
All that I know is that I have memorized Jennifer's phone number. I am still in the process of memorizing Betty's.
Right.
But if I'm in trouble and I can't get a hold of either of them, you're probably going to be the third person I call.
Yeah.
If
I'm ever in trouble and I need to make one phone call from the police station, Annex Theater is getting my one call.
Yeah, exactly. Which isn't such a bad idea.
No, because it forwards to Steven's cell phone and,
yeah,
I trust
him
to bail me out of jams.
Speaking of Steven's cell phone, so I'm talking to you from the room where I normally call you.
Yeah.
Because I have batteries for my recorder.
He told me he sent you a present.
He did. Now, here's the thing, though. I just got to let you know, they aren't rechargeable batteries that I'm using. I found them while I was cleaning my house because we have two people who listen to this podcast that we know of.
Yeah.
On a semi-regular basis. My wife, Jennifer.
Right.
And our friend, Steven.
Yeah.
And one of those two people knows what type of battery my recorder takes. It's double A's, and I received a package of rechargeable triple A's, which is great, don't get me wrong. I have triple A things that I have around the house and stuff.
Did you receive a charger as well?
Oh yes, I
and
have the charger also.
Does the charger take both double A and triple A?
I believe it does. What I'm going to do is whenever... Okay.
Most of them do these days.
I have a new budgeting thing, and I've already used up my allotment for household good type things.
Right.
But the next time I get paid, I'm going to go online, and I bet you I will be able to find AA batteries without any trouble for that charger.
Go for the Eneloops. Or when Steven hears this, he's probably just going to send them along anyway.
You know, that would not be... I would not be opposed to that. Here's something I was thinking about. Patreon,
yes.
People always have that. I think that it would also piss people off if we were to get a Patreon account.
For this podcast?
For our podcast, which is just two white dudes talking for an hour.
I don't think it would piss people off. I think they would just kind of roll their eyes and then not give anything.
I'm sorry. That's what I'm talking about.
I don't think it would make anybody actively angry.
Now, does it? So here's the thing. I'm just throwing this out there. If you were to make one, I would talk about it sometime. But I would like to approach this as I approach everything with the management of this podcast, and that I do the exact bare minimum.
So
anything.
I would be responsible for setting up the Patreon.
Yeah. But here's the other thing. You'd get all the money for it also.
Hey, I kind of like them odds. I'd get nothing every month.
Yeah.
For all the work I did.
It's what you're getting now, so that's good. And I would also, of course, help out with whatever the prizes are.
Right. I've already, I do have an active Patreon going. The Panel Jumper has a Patreon account.
Gosh, I wonder where I got the idea that you might want to do one for a podcast. No, I'm kidding.
Well,
I mean,
here's the thing. We have a larger following for the Panel Jumper than we do for the Goody Lawrence podcast, and yet we still don't make much.
Okay, so let me talk about something now that we're talking about the Panel Jumper.
Yeah.
Again, we keep it wrong here. I'm doing this from memory. Is it Jose and the Hawk?
Yes.
Has started following me on Twitter, and Jose Amador.
Yeah.
who I'm a big fan of.
Are you?
If you remember, oh, go ahead.
I was going to ask if you were familiar with what Jose and the Hawk is.
Absolutely not.
Okay.
And I figured you did.
So I'll tell you in a bit, but what were you going to say about Jose?
Oh, if you remember, when I first came up with the idea for Dinner in Hell, Troy Lund did a really, really good job of being the musical guy.
Right.
In the background playing the drums.
Yeah.
I think it went great. But my original idea, if you remember, was Jose playing the piano. I was like, I don't know if he can play piano or not. It's fine. Because all he would need to do is learn the chords and play it. This is like years before we did it.
Yeah, I don't remember that part.
Because he was in the dream that I had that turned into that sketch. And he was playing the piano. And still like pointing out at people and having a good time vamping.
Right.
And all that. But Troy did a great job. Troy Lund did a great job.
Yeah.
And I think I remember that we were playing piano while we were singing. Is that right? Like playing just the chords or something like that?
Yes.
Or
I.
Okay.
Well, yeah, I was in the back playing the piano and singing. Troy was playing drums sort of discordantly.
And when you and I swapped, I did play the piano. I think I played I think you showed me the chord and I played it.
It was a pretty simple chord progression for the one section. Which, what song was it? I don't remember what song it was, even though I played it over and over again for
The Captain of Her Heart.
Oh, that's right.
Too longer. For those of you who listen regularly, you've heard us describe this before, but basically the idea is that I'm eating a steak. Troy Lund is playing drums discordantly, as Ben noted. And Ben is singing just over and over again, too long ago, too long apart, she couldn't wait another day for the captain of her heart, too long ago, over and over
while
and over again.
While the audience is loading in to spin the bottle. So we're doing this for about half an hour.
And so when it's over.
And we've also mentioned this before, this is the first meat that you've eaten in like years.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yes, true. It was the first meat. And I felt great. It started me back on eating meat.
Pissing off vegetarians everywhere.
No, well, maybe. I don't eat meat as much anymore. But I did start eating it again because I felt great afterwards. But after the thing is done when I eat the entire steak. So right. Everyone is seated at this point.
Yeah.
Then a new steak is brought out. Ben starts eating it. I start singing Captain of Her Heart. And everyone, the reaction that we wanted was exactly what we got. Everyone groaned as though we had done something horrible to them.
Yeah.
Which we had.
We had.
But then there was a blackout.
But I have heard from at least one person, so I'm going to say everybody felt this way, that they loved it.
Yeah,
That was their favorite performance. One of their favorite performances of ours.
Yeah, yeah, it's one of my favorite. It's really great. Listen to your dreams, everybody. also, a little bit of news. I just want to get this out there. I am not heavily pursuing my Jewish studies anymore. And here's the reason.
Wait, what day is it? What day is it? Who wins the pool?
Oh, yeah.
Who
yeah,
wins
yeah.
the Paul doesn't do it anymore pool?
Now here's the thing. I'm still doing Shabbat stuff, but it's an amended version of it. But this is the basic thing. I realized that while I was doing it, there were things that Jennifer and Betty asked me to do, and I was like, "Well, no, I can't. I'm going. I'm doing this thing. Oh no, I can't. I'm doing this, doing that." And one of the first things the rabbi told me when I first started down the road was, "Don't put this in front of your family or your work." And I was totally putting it in front of my family.
Right.
Ben just clips out, "I was totally putting it in front of my family." And that's bad.
I do recall a quite a humorous Facebook post from Jennifer regarding a credit card.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. And which, of course, I don't read Facebook. So,
right.
Jennifer doesn't read Twitter. I don't read Facebook. it's the best. If you're married, that is how I recommend it happen. Pick your social media and
stick cross pollinate.
Exactly. It can only be, we've seen it before in the past, where married or dating couples just completely get on each other's timelines and it becomes either uncomfortable or just cloyingly sweet.
It's, well, yeah, and both are awkward from an outsider's perspective.
Exactly. Like when Patton Oswalt started dating for a while, people were like writing him every day, "Stop it," or whatever.
Yeah, and he got a lot of hate for the fact that he didn't wait, quote, the proper amount of time before he proposed to someone after his wife had passed away.
Yeah, that's crazy, because anybody who like follows his career and all that, he was broken up pretty badly for quite a while.
Right.
I'm not.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nobody, I'm not faulting the guy.
Nobody can honestly judge how another person mourns or how long they're supposed to.
Exactly. I think people don't like him. And the people who don't like him, are gonna, you know, go that route a little bit. So who knows? We'll see what happens.
So Jose and the Hawk, you got followed on Twitter by Jose and the Hawk.
I did. And I followed them back immediately because I was like, it's Jose.
Yeah.
But it seems like it's probably, the reason I asked you about it is because just from the photos, it seems like it's probably Panel Jumper adjacent.
It is a spinoff. It is the Panel Jumper's first spinoff series. So what happened was when we were filming that show.
Yeah.
That episode of the Panel Jumper. We paired actors up with puppets, and Jose got paired up with this hawk, and we had them wear like similar clothes and stuff, or we had Jose wear clothes that looked like that had the same color scheme as the puppet. And so one point during the shooting, I say, "Let's get Jose and the Hawk over here." And everybody was like, "Oh my God, that sounds like a great buddy cop show." And Rachel Jackson especially, because she was the one with the puppets. And so she basically took the concept and ran with it. And
does she do the voice of the hawk?
No, the hawk's voice was Ray Williams. It was originally someone else. It was originally someone else, but I had that someone else do another voice. So when we filmed, it was the other puppeteer, Zane. But when I redubbed the puppets, I had Ray do that piece because, you know, we like Ray and we want him to be in all the episodes.
Yeah. So let's talk about for just a second. What's the setup? Does Rachel do the puppet and Ray do the voice, or now does Ray do the voice and the puppet?
When we filmed it originally, both Rachel and Zane did the puppet, I believe, because it's one of those puppets where you have one hand going into the head and then two hands in both wings, I guess.
Oh, okay. Wow. Yeah. Gotcha.
And but Zane read the script while he was doing the hand, because the hawk held up. Actually, I have to go back and look. I think I'm wrong. I think maybe it was just Rachel on the puppet and Zane was just sitting nearby reading the script. But she wanted to pursue that concept, and so she did, and is creating this whole thing.
Well, that is great. Congratulations to Jose and the Hawk for being a thing now. I guess there are a couple things I wanted to talk to you about. I have an idea for another segment.
Okay.
You know how we don't have segments.
No.
I sent you a picture.
I was going to ask.
And I'm just going to talk to you about the picture, and then the picture can be in the show notes.
Okay.
In the picture, you can see over my shoulder is the dead tree of the apocalypse lot. Jennifer talks about the apocalypse lot. It's where the city dumps all of their used concrete and other building materials, and then bulldozes it down the hill into the green belt below to kind of build up the land.
Okay.
A little bit. I don't know if it works or not, but that's the plan anyway. That's what they say. So everything's dead. It's sort of a wasteland kind of thing back there. I am sitting.
You're basically filling it up with compost.
Yes. Or building compost. Yeah. I'm sitting on the love seat that the city isn't taking that would cost $100 for me to take to a transfer station and that no one is picking up for free.
So it's just a small couch sitting on the street there?
Yep. I'm calling it the limbo couch for right now because it's totally, who knows what's going to happen right to it. And then the other thing is, if you can look at my nose, do you see how there's like a little red spot on it?
Okay.
I have a zit right here on my nose, and because there's so little skin between my nose and the cartilage or bone
right
that makes up my nose,
little
skin there, the whole thing is just like red, and it looks like I got punched in the face.
Yeah, it's a good thing you don't wear glasses. It's kind of right where your glasses would go.
Right?
Yeah.
That's what got me thinking. Betty has glasses now.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of an interesting...
also, like, I feel you. Every once in a while I get that happens to me, and I'm like, what up, 40-year-old skin? I thought we were past this.
Aren't we done? So that's crazy. But so I've got that going on. And so that's segment number one. Paul describes a picture.
So, I'll put it in the show notes. And when you sent it to me, I didn't know what you were getting at. So I just took a picture of myself and sent it to you.
Oh, I haven't gotten that yet.
You haven't gotten it.
Hold on. Yeah, yeah. Hey, do you have any questions about the picture for me? Any? Nothing pretty clear? Nothing comes out. No. I'm not leading anything either.
There's a house over your left shoulder. That's just a house. Is somebody's house or somebody's garage next to the apocalypse lot?
I think it's the garage.
Yeah.
Garage for.
What's the end game here for the city? Are they going to develop it into another home?
That's the question. I think eventually they're going to. I don't know who owns it. I really don't.
Yeah.
I think the city owns it. Oh, there we go. All right. So I'm looking at your picture now. You could post that on the show notes too. So here's something I notice. I'm looking at the distance your eyes are from your glasses. Your glasses look a little crooked. Are your ears offset?
I think my ears are not even because I do notice this. I mean, if you look at my glasses, you'll notice that the top rim of the glasses is even with both my eyelids, the top of my eyelids. So they are level with my face, but they do look a bit off. And I've noticed that when I take my glasses off and I look at them from like a plane, like a top-down point of view, they look crooked. Like being on my face for the past, 8 years now, they've warped somewhat.
All right, so check this out. This is the reason why I'm asking. If you go back to my photo and you look at it, right?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to mention two other things about it. One is one of the weirdest, like, troll kind of things that I got when I was on the TV show was someone wrote to me and said, you know, Paul, you can get Botox pretty much anywhere in L.A., which was confusing to me because, one, I'm not in L.A., and two, why would I need Botox? And eventually somebody else who I was asking goes, oh, well, they're talking about the wrinkles in your forehead. And I'm like, when I raise my eyebrows, my forehead wrinkles.
Right.
That's because I've got skin that's just moved up. Why would you ever want to? It's crazy. People are weird. And then the other thing, though, if you look as you're looking at it, the eye that is on your right, which would be my left eye,
right,
is lower than the eye that is than my other eye. So, and that's my entire face. My ear is lower. My eye is lower. I have the two halves of my face are several millimeters off center. Which is interesting.
There's a an image somebody put together of Harrison Ford. So Harrison Ford today, I think he's like in his mid-70s or something.
Okay.
And I don't believe he has had a stroke, but one side of his face is starting to droop a little bit. And so what somebody did was they actually cut his face in half, and they said that, and you can see that Harrison Ford actually has two expressions on his face at the same time. If you look at, if you mirror the left half of his face, and I'm probably getting left and right wrong here. If you mirror the left half of his face, it looks like he's frowning. But if you mirror the right half of his face, it looks like he's smiling.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So, hey, how about that Han Solo movie that's coming out eventually?
Directed by Ron Howard.
Yeah. Wait, I heard that people didn't like The Dark Tower. Did you see it?
I've heard that too. And I'm still going to see it. But the thing that I didn't know about The Dark Tower, and because I've only read up to book four, right? I've only read up to The Wastelands. And
yeah, you've already beat me as far as I've not read any of that series.
There are 6 or 8 books. I honestly don't know. And I read these books, like I read The Gunslinger when I was in junior high, and I think I read The Wastelands when, like, right before I went to college. So it's been over 20 years since I've read these books. My memory of them is pretty bad, right? I couldn't tell you what's going on. But apparently what the movie does, and I don't know this for a fact. I've just heard this on Facebook from somebody who I don't even know if he saw the movie. But he says that they've taken all the books and compressed it into one 95-minute movie.
Wow, that's...
And so he analogized it to taking all the Harry Potter books and making one movie out of all the books. So you don't even have... And you take out the characters of Hermione and Ron, and you just... You know, you do all these terrible things to the story to make one 90-minute movie.
Wow, that's not...
I mean, I'm going to go into it, I guess, now with low expectations, because I've been looking forward to this movie for a while. I'm going to go into it and just look at it like a futuristic Western sci-fi action movie.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say, is if you approach it the same way that I approach, like, veggie burgers, and this is not meat, it's just the thing I'm going to eat, and we'll see. They're not that bad. It's only when you expect them to be meat that it's a problem.
Yeah.
And speaking about expecting it to be meat, it's time for our second segment, Corrections!
Corrections, yes. Jennifer did send us corrections.
My wife, Jennifer, listens to the podcast, and as stated before, we keep it wrong here. We do not Google stuff. We don't look things up on our phones. We try to do it just from memory, and with that in mind, my wife then listens to it and does little research bits and sees what we got wrong
She does the Lord's work.
Indeed, it's true. So, how did it go? First of all, what's the general length of the email?
It's very short. There are four bullet points. And she says, you guys basically had nothing objectively wrong other than number one, so proceed as you wish with these. And I haven't even read these. I'm reading them as
I like it when that happens. That way you don't have time to think about it.
Yeah.
Come up with a story.
And she says, number three is obviously massively editorial, so no need to read it out other than the first sentence. Okay, well, maybe I won't. Maybe I'll stop. Anyway.
Well.
Number one. Okay. Ben. And I said, were we even talking about Betty's Camp? And she says, yes, you were. I generally don't just toss in corrections apropos of nothing. It's not that I didn't think we were. I just didn't remember. Anyway.
All right.
Number two, Ben's Birdie and Trump do sound the same. Turn up the Yiddish and you'd have a passable Jackie Mason.
Wait, say it one more time.
Ben's Bernie. I did an impression of Bernie. And I said that my Bernie impression and my Trump impression sounded the same. They're basically just like old New Yorkers. And she says, turn up the Yiddish and you'd have a passable Jackie Mason. Do you know who Jackie Mason is, right?
We talked about Jackie Mason. Jennifer and I did it in the car one time.
Yeah.
He is the guy who got kicked off of, I believe it was the Ed Sullivan Show, and was blacklisted for a while because he made a joke where the guy was telling him that he had to get off the stage. And he said, he's given me some fingers. Now I'm going to give him some fingers. And even though he didn't actually flip someone off, because of the nature of television at that time, there wasn't like, you couldn't pause it and rewind it and look and see right. or anything like that.
VCRs did not exist.
Some people said that they were offended by what he was doing, and it became a problem.
I know about that incident. I've seen that little segment.
Yeah, they kinescoped it or whatever you call it.
Yeah.
Whatever that thing's called. Maybe someone will tell us what that's called. When they film it off of the TV somehow or whatever. Kinetoscope. But the other thing I mentioned when I was talking about Jackie Mason to her was he had a thing that he talked about where people eat soup about as much time as they have sex, sometimes even more.
Yeah.
And yet you hardly see people eating soup in movies. And we had talked about how Jackie Mason isn't like laugh out loud funny. He says things and you listen to them, but it's a different kind of thing. It's a different sort of humor.
Yeah.
I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's weird. He's different than the comics of today.
Right.
I would say.
And the comics of today would probably know him as the voice of Krusty's father in The Simpsons.
Oh yeah, that's right. I forgot about that.
Yeah. Anyway, so that's number two. And number three, she said, is no need to read it out other than the first sentence. So I'm going to honor that, and I'm only going to read the first sentence, which is, okay. I do not hate it when you guys talk politics. We said,
oh, okay.
You said that she hates it when we talk politics. And so
I think it, you know, I had the impression that causes some, you know, exasperation on her part.
Well, I mean, I think there was that one episode where she
talked about
basically
it
tuned out because we were talking about things. Anyway, and finally, number four, I lost notes for episodes 74 and 75 in a rainstorm. I thought I had brought everything in from the porch, but later found my steno pad soaked and my notes obliterated. Yours,
yes, and
Jennifer Fact Checker.
And the thing about Jennifer that you may or may not know is that she has become... Okay, there are certain people in our small town that everybody knows about and talks about. There is walking guy. He's a guy who walks everywhere instead of
driving.
And he walks, his gait is a little weird. He leans forward a little bit. I think he might have been burnt or something like that in an accident, perhaps.
Or
I don't know for sure.
Or he's a demon inhabiting human skin and just learning how to use uncloven feet.
Look, I'm not saying that at all, but so there's him and there's, you know, stop sign lady. She, stops cars with a stop sign, you know, for the kids to cross the street and stuff like that.
Right. She's a crossing guard people. Is what you're saying.
Jennifer refers to herself as crazy porch lady.
Crazy porch lady.
She sits out on the porch pretty much all day doing, crosswords or doing, adult coloring books or doing cross stitch or
listening
or
to our podcast
listening
and
to
writing
our podcast
corrections,
and writing corrections.
Yeah.
And so that's why she left them on the porch in the rainstorm. Obviously, you know, the porch protects somewhat, but
right.
depending on which way the rain is, coming, you know, like if there's a wind or whatever,
yeah,
it'll
coming
just
directly
soak
towards the house
on there. Yep.
Yeah.
Exactly. So that was corrections.
That
Yay!
Was corrections.
We did it.
Corrections.
Ding. Okay. Let's talk about current events. I'm not going to say politics. Current events.
A lot of people are having nuclear anxiety.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I was going to talk about that.
Yeah.
So I made a mention of this, but I'll let you know. North Korea at this time has some small nuclear capability. Would you say that's small nuclear capability? Is that nuclear?
What the Washington Post reported was that the North Koreans have created a nuclear warhead small enough to fit on top of their ballistic missile.
Gotcha. And how far does that ballistic missile, how far
well,
can it go?
Well, it depends on who you talk to. I think the North Koreans will say it reaches North America. I don't know what U.S. intelligence says, but I think Guam is the closest to North Korea, so it's in the most imminent danger.
Now, how did North Korea figure this out? I mean, not how did North Korea figure this out, sorry. How did the Washington Post figure this out?
I think they were just reporting on U.S. intelligence services.
Okay, so someone from the U.S. intelligence services figured this out.
That's my understanding.
So this isn't North Korea claiming that they did it. This is someone from the U.S. saying, okay, we think that this actually happened.
Right, but the thing about North Korea is that they've been claiming that they've had a nuclear, or yeah, that they've had a ballistic missile that can reach main, you know, continental U.S. for like the longest time. You know, the propaganda that comes out of Pyongyang is second only to the propaganda that comes out of Washington D.C.
Yes, and it's interesting. People have drawn parallels between our current president and North Korea.
I saw a headline that said North Korea says Trump is a senile man playing golf, and I'm like, you know what? For once, I gotta agree with North Korea here.
Yeah. It's a little on the nose as far as that goes, as far as I'm concerned. The big thing about all of this is that you are on the West Coast.
Yeah.
And I am in the Midwest. If there were danger of a missile reaching the North American continent, you would be in more danger than I, most likely.
But, I mean, I don't know what to believe anymore coming out. I used to think that our government was like the calm-headed one.
Yeah.
And so I would like to think that in a perfect world, in a perfect world, none of this would happen. But
yeah,
the U.S. is never going to strike first. Right. And so, that's what I used to think. The United States is never going to be the aggressor in this kind of situation.
Yeah.
Because then the whole world will not ally again with you.
Right.
In terms of this third world war you're starting. So what North Korea probably understands is that they get one shot.
Yeah.
And even if they nuke Guam, which, I mean, Guam is not that big. So if they drop a bomb on Guam, say goodbye to Guam. In about an hour afterwards, say goodbye to the North Korean peninsula.
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing, right? Is that we're both Cold War kids, right? You would say.
Oh yeah, the Russians have always been the bad guys.
Yeah. And this is something, did we touch on this? The idea that millennials are like, why do Democrats think that? Okay, so did we talk about the DSA versus the DNC thing that's going on?
Yeah, we touched on it a couple weeks ago.
So the basic thing is, you know, why are the DNC kids, I mean the DSA kids, are always like, why are these older left-wing folks so convinced that Russia is like this super spy boogeyman thing? It's because we were brought up on movies where they were.
Right.
That's the main thing.
And not, you know, because the Russians were. I mean, they were the enemy. They were the Cold War enemy.
I mean, and they found Russian spies in the U.S. That was a real thing that happened.
Yeah.
And we were hearing about it on the news and all that. So the big thing.
And it felt safe to have the Russians as the bad guys in all these movies because it wasn't a racist thing, because the Russians are essentially white people.
Yeah, you know, that's true. I didn't really think about that. But yeah. Which some people say is the reason why the right-wing folks aren't so bad about us coaching up to Russia anymore. because now, you know, there are other enemies that we've been building for a long time.
Yes.
You know, starting with Back to the Future. Maybe.
What?
The terrorists getting their hands on plutonium.
Oh, okay, yeah. The Libyans.
They weren't Russians. They were Libyans. This is a big deal. I mean, when I was watching it anyway, it was kind of a huge... Libyans?
Yeah.
As a small town kid, I knew what Russians were.
Right. Shouldn't those be Russians? Who are the Libyans? Where's Libya?
Yeah, exactly. Now I know. Everyone, calm down. Wait.
Everybody knows where Libya is.
Yeah. It's Gaddafi, right? Gaddafi, Libya? Am I wrong?
No, you're not wrong. That was during the Gaddafi era, was the early 80s, which is when Back to the Future was made.
Yeah. So then again,
Jennifer,
you know, like
please
said,
tell me if
I'm
wrong. I'm probably wrong about that.
As a child, not paying a lot of attention, probably Libya was already in the news a lot. I'm just saying that for me, it was Russia. When it was Libyans, I got confused.
Right.
That's all I'm saying. So, but the basic idea, as a Cold War kid, the thing that I know, and probably the thing you know too, you're not really afraid of the first bomb that gets dropped. That's not where the fear comes in. The fear comes in, the first bomb is dropped, and then everybody else starts shooting and the entire world blows up. That is the concept.
Right.
That war games, the only way to win is not to play. As soon as one person does it, then everything
it's total global annihilation.
Right. And so that's the big thing, is that once you've got, because I don't know, I mean, look up sometime which nations have the bomb. There are lots of different ones.
Yeah.
And if one person uses it, that's like, it's like when you're on the dance floor and the band's playing, nobody's dancing. You're all just kind of standing around in little groups. And finally, one person, usually a crazy person, starts dancing. And then other people who are a little bit more even keeled are like, well, as long as they're doing it, why don't we do it too? And they're kind of the free spirits, and they're like, yeah, haha, look at us. And then eventually everybody starts dancing. That's sort of how it works. And unfortunately, that's how it works in bar fights, and that's how it may work.
That's also a better that's a better analogy than I always thought of it, which is a floor full of mouse traps that are set with ping pong balls.
Oh, wow.
And then you drop a ping pong ball, and then that just sets off a chain reaction, and eventually all the mouse traps go up.
Yeah, that's a little bit more scary. But it works. I've been following a lot more stuff on AI, and I'm really intrigued by it. The stuff where you can, you've seen this, I think, you draw a bad picture of a cat and then it looks like a cat.
Yeah.
Like the AI makes it.
Yeah.
That kind of stuff.
I did see that. That was a Google program, right?
Yeah. There was another, I think it was based, I don't want to say that. I think a university did that one.
Oh, okay.
Google has their deep dream thing, though, which is great.
I did hear that some AI researchers recently shut down the AI they were working on because it created its own language.
Right, and now creating its own language, the interesting thing is that it kind of looks like gibberish, right? But what it did was it stopped using regular English noun verbs and everything.
Yeah.
And it would say stuff like I, you, because the idea was that they were like giving things back and forth between each other.
Really?
And they had a shortcut where the word I just meant something like I give you.
Right.
And then you was you give me. So it was just I, you. I back and forth, back and forth. Yeah, and they shut it down.
So basically the researchers were like, speak English.
right. Come on, you're
English,
America,
mofo,
love it or leave it.
Do you speak it?
But then I also saw one where there was an AI that was making up new names for British towns.
Oh, who doesn't love
like,
to do
like,
that?
All sorts of different things. And it reminded me of the science fiction play that Thomas Middleditch was in. Do you remember that?
No.
It was called, like, Sun Spear, I think.
And
I think it was called Sun Spear. I'll find it, and I'll email it to you whenever this is over. But it was, and we can link to it in the show notes. Basically, somebody was using predictive text to write a science fiction script. And then they had people act it out. And it was great. I loved it.
Sounds fun.
Yeah. I thought it was super. We've been lucky so far as humans with our technology and all that. Have we talked about the fact that we've basically always been cyborgs pretty much?
What? I don't think no. Humans. I don't think we have.
Tool use. Our use of tools as things, as being extensions of ourselves.
Is cyborgian?
Yeah. I mean, I'm not talking about replacing our limbs with robots. But, I mean, well, our teeth, actually, artificial.
Well, we're getting more and more towards that. They tried to start with the Google Glass, but AR is a step towards that.
Well, augmented reality. Like, clothes could be cyborged. Ish.
Clothes.
Really? Honestly? Yeah, we're altering our bodies with objects.
Well, I mean, I'm thinking of cyborgs in terms of robots. What do you?
Yeah, I know. I'm talking about any tool, basically, making us like forget about machines for a second, right? A human being is an organism, right?
Yeah.
But we use our environment as an extension of ourselves. More so than a lot of other
animals. Yeah, because sometimes
it
gets cold and we have to wear clothes.
Right, sometimes it gets cold. We put clothes on when it's cold. We don't have a thick coat.
No.
We use the environment to make fur for ourselves. And we don't have telescoping limbs or long necks or anything like that. So we use, or really long arms, so we use tools to shake stuff out
of
branches.
Yeah, we augment our abilities.
Yes, augmented abilities, that's right. And for a while, and even now still, we also use other animals to augment our abilities.
It's still very much in use, I think. Maybe not in the inner city, but I did see this documentary about the small town in northern Alaska called Barrow, Alaska, which is, you cannot reach it by car. You have to fly or ship all the vehicles in. And but it's still very much a whaling town. And I forget which tribe lives up there, but the tribe that lives up there has permission from the US government to whale because it's part of their heritage, it's their tradition. And like the stories, they use every single part of what they bring in to port. And so they are using the skin for leather, and they are using every single piece of meat for food. They store it for almost a year because the whaling season isn't that long, I guess.
I was actually looking up today how large blue whales are compared to people.
They're super big.
They're super big.
Yeah.
Really big.
Like the
big
biggest things.
And I would say that the idea of using all of everything, right, is something like the whole they don't make it like they used to thing.
Yeah.
It's not just using all of everything, but the idea of using the same chair that your great-grandfather used.
Right.
Can you imagine that now with IKEA furniture, all that kind of stuff?
Yeah, that IKEA furniture is not lasting for two generations.
Exactly. But
my parents they still have furniture in their house that was owned by my great-grandfather, my dad's grandfather.
Wow. Well, there you go.
Yeah.
That's something then. That's still... There we go. Oh, Eclipse, by the way.
Yeah.
In about 2 weeks, maybe a little.
August 21st.
Not this Monday, but the Monday. It's
right.
Coming really close to where we live. So we're going to, did I tell you about this?
No.
The day of the eclipse, my daughter doesn't have school. My daughter starts school on the 15th, but on the 21st, no school.
Right. I guess they figured that none of the kids would be in school anyway.
Oh, it's a little bit crazier than that. They decided that they couldn't guarantee that the children wouldn't look at the sun.
So,
and they didn't want to be responsible.
Right, they're leaving that responsibility up to the parents.
That's right. Which is fine.
I can understand that from a litigious point of view. So you guys are driving towards the path of totality?
Well, we're pretty close to the path of totality, actually.
Yeah.
Where St. Louis is. We were thinking about going to one of the old Native American mounds out here. It'd be a kind of a cool place to go.
Yeah. I was thinking about doing that. Here in Seattle, we're going to have about 95%, which is a lot,
nice.
You know?
Yeah.
And just down in, like, in Salem, Oregon, is where the path of totality is. And so I thought a few, like about a month ago, I'm like, oh, that'd be fun to just drive down there and see it. And apparently, and this is, I'm going to swear here, so I got to remind myself to bleep it out.
Yeah.
It's going to be a show.
Oh, I can imagine.
Oregon DOT, ODOT, is expecting over 1 million people just in the I-5 corridor alone to try to get here. You cannot reserve a hotel or a motel anywhere in Oregon on that weekend. I looked. None are offering reservations.
Wow.
And the last thing I want to do is to be stuck on I-5 somewhere in Portland when it happens.
Well, the more you say that, the more I'm thinking the idea of going to my parents' house may actually occur.
Yeah.
Because, you know, there's just a road out to their place. And the reason is because they're surrounded by fields.
Right.
You know, so we get a good shot of it. I think that's what I want to do the more I think of it.
You know, with our luck.
Because, yeah, I didn't think of the roads.
Yeah,
of people coming from out of town.
Yeah, it's going to be insane.
I don't even.
I mean, that's a Monday morning. I'm not even going to get my car out of my garage, you know?
Yeah. Well, we're going to be around noon our time. So yours is like 10.
It's like a 10, yeah. 20, something like that.
I'll pitch that to my wife and daughter because that's probably going to happen.
Yeah.
And who knows? Maybe I'm just spitballing here. Well, if somebody were to do something bad and crazy, what better time than during the eclipse?
Right. Right. But, I mean, also, here's the thing.
Oh, my gosh.
I don't know. I mean, we'll come back to a little bit of conspiracy, but I don't know what the population centers are like around your town. But, like, this is going to be terrible because you have, like, four major population centers trying to go to a rural area where the roads are not built to handle it.
Oh yeah, that's a
right.
Good point.
So you're funneling all these people like into a small area, whereas in your case, it's probably going to be an easier time because you don't have a few million people trying to go in one direction at one time.
Well, yeah. Plus, the idea is that St. Louis, the larger population center, already has a good view.
Right.
So they're not going to drive out to. No one goes to Dorsey for any reason.
So why would you?
That'll be, well, let's see my mom and dad, Ben. Come on. So anyway, the idea is I'm just, leave it here for posterity. Hopefully nothing bad will happen. But if I were Kim Jong-il, right?
Yeah.
This eclipse is only going to touch the United States.
It's a Western conspiracy.
Well, what I'm saying is everybody is going to be paying attention to the eclipse and not to me.
Right.
I'm going to make a big stink about it. Maybe not. But
Hopefully not.
But the sun turns black. You know, I'm going to do this thing, you know, that kind of thing. It's possible. I'm just saying, if we're talking about people who like getting attention.
All right, well, you know, if something happens during the eclipse, Paul, I'm just going to blame you.
Yeah,
for mentioning
why
it
not?
And making it happen.
Yeah, I can't think of anyone else who will want to get attention from the eclipse either. Probably just that guy.
Just that one dude.
Yep. All right, so, yeah, we'll see. Probably nothing. Probably nothing. Oh, hey, do you have Amazon Prime? Have I asked you this already?
I do have Amazon Prime.
Mr. Robot Season 2. I'm watching it right now. It's great.
I have not seen Season 1.
I Love Mr. Robot. Oh, and so sad.
I'm still trying. Oh, yes, and CISO's going away.
Yeah, it's very sad. I enjoyed that a lot. You could watch Monty Python whenever. And now it's not around.
Yeah, now.
And also, what's Bajillion Dollar Properties, which was a good show I liked.
What's behind the CISO cancellation? Did they just run out of money?
I don't know. Maybe so.
Was there not enough interest?
Probably. Probably not enough interest. I don't know. It's. I don't get it. It was. I don't see why.
No.
Here's the thing.
Nobody
likes
Paul F. Tompkins as much as Paul Goody does.
Oh my gosh, that's impossible. How could that be? Because this is the thing, is that Paul F. Tompkins and some other people were discussing this, where somebody walked up and said, "I'm your biggest fan. What are you doing in my town?" And they were like, "I have a show here tonight." That sort of thing. I am a fan of Paul F. Tompkins. I am not Paul F. Tompkins' biggest fan. It's impossible because I don't know his schedule. I don't know what's going on.
Right.
You know, when I see him, I enjoy it. Now, granted, I did know when he was playing 30 miles away from my house. So I do follow him.
Are you on like a mailing list or something?
No. I just happened to catch a tweet that he had about it. I follow him on Twitter.
Right. Of course.
But there are other people who are. And this is the thing about the biggest fan, right? Do you want to be the biggest fan, or do you want to be a fan that they enjoy interacting with?
Exactly. You don't want to be the biggest fan
because those two things are.
Yeah. The biggest fan is generally a crazy person.
Normally, yes. That I would think that is how it works out. Is it for sure? I don't know. I mean, did we have any super fans other than our friends? For Goody Lawrence? Because our friends are our super fans.
Yeah. No, we never. I don't think we had anybody who followed us everywhere or came to see us specifically at things. We did have a fella compliment us a bit too much after a performance of Naked Ladies, if you remember that.
Oh.
He was just a dude who like really liked the show and liked the way that we interpreted vaudeville. And
I think that guy was fine.
Yeah. I mean,
Ben, listen carefully. I don't remember this guy, and I'm concerned that maybe he's listening.
I don't.
That guy was great.
I don't think he ever came to see anything else we did. He just really liked the show.
You know, there was a really cool dude that, like, we played some sort of a dating game, and he got stuck with me.
Yeah.
And I ended up just talking to him about my book.
Yeah, that was...
I forget that guy.
I don't know who that was. There's a picture of him somewhere. I don't think I've seen him.
But that guy was cool, and I saw him, like... Because he was a little disappointed that he got stuck with me, I think, a little bit. But he was really cool. And that's the thing I was going to say, is that I think the reason that we don't have, like, any super fans is that the people that were fans of us, we actually... like talk to them afterwards and they became friends of ours.
Yeah, that there you go. You got to keep the mystery alive. I think
exactly.
That the dating game thing was a I think it was Ray Williams, and it was one of the 7 minutes in heaven performances.
Oh yeah, that's right. Yeah.
So that was our, we did that, and that was our Goody Lawrence performance for that month. And I basically just wore the pig janitor outfit and just sat there, didn't say anything.
That's right.
And you talked about your book.
Oh, wait. Was he dating both of us?
He was, I think what happened was he had to pick between, like, you, me, and maybe somebody else.
Oh, that's, okay, that makes sense, that makes sense, that makes sense.
And he picked, and he picked you, and he sat next to you during the rest, or you sat next to him for the rest of the show, isn't that right?
Yeah, 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 that's right. And we talked and stuff, it was nice. But that's the only thing I can think of an interaction with a fan that was more than just, hey, how's it going?
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because we did have to sit together. We got to sit together for the rest of the show.
I'll have to find that picture and see if I know who it is.
Speaking of have to, got to, hey, buddy! Can you hear her? She's coming.
I can, yeah. From the distance, a whale coming towards us.
Hey, buddy.
Not like a blue ladle, but like a whale, like a W-A-I-L.
Hi.
So Betty got a haircut and new glasses.
And nobody can recognize her.
Well, I can still recognize her. She does look a little bit like me again, like I did at her age.
Yeah. At 11? You looked like Betty when you were 11?
Pretty much, yeah. I'll try to find a picture of when I was 11. So how's it going, Betty?
It's going pretty good.
Betty is giving a thumbs up saying it's going pretty good.
Good radio talk.
Betty starts school on the 15th.
And what grade is Betty going into?
You can hear me, right? You can hear me, right? You can hear me with your ears, right? One person who is watching this?
Nobody's watching this.
I know who you are.
That we know of.
The one person who is hearing this? I know who you are.
Oh. Here's the thing. Benny and I were talking about ASMR. Ben, have we talked about this, you and me?
Possibly.
Are you familiar with ASMR?
Well, not really offhand, but let me know what it is, and I'll tell you if I've heard of it.
Okay, Betty, describe ASMR to Betty.
It's basically where,
can you hear her, by the way?
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead, Betty.
It's basically where you go and, where you listen to something, basically some soft sounds in one ear and then the other ear and then like the other ear and then one ear and then both ears and then all that stuff, and it's supposed to make your head feel pretty weird.
So it's not a hearing test, but it
could be somebody whispering, it could be somebody like
doing this.
Is it
Betty is now tapping the microphone with her fingers.
Is it is the objective to affect your mood?
Okay, if they do it right? They call it tingles sometimes. It's like a sort of shudder almost.
We're just easing our way.
But perhaps pleasurable, not as
yeah,
frightening.
Okay.
Yeah, we're just easing our way past a certain word that we can't say.
But like if somebody jumps up and scares you, right?
Yeah.
Or if you're falling and you catch yourself, that weird kind of like it's a weird body type reaction. So here's the thing. Before it became really popular, and it's kind of blown up now, but way, way back in the 90s, like 91, 92, I was in a computer language lab. And at the time, language labs worked... You know what a four-track recorder is, right?
Yeah.
It records on both both sides of the tape at the same time, basically, both sides of the audio cassette. And instead of flipping it over...
You millennials won't understand it.
What... instead of flipping it over, it just plays it all at once. So you only have like on a 30-minute tape.
Right.
So what I did was I accidentally put it in upside down or backwards. I mean, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I hit play. And when I hit play, the woman's voice, the woman speaking French who you're supposed to repeat, was playing backwards. So I was listening to someone speaking French in reverse, and I almost passed out. It was just this weird overload to my system. Yeah. It was the craziest, like I kind of shook a little bit, and I almost,
Like it caused a kernel panic in your brain?
Exactly. Yes.
You had a seizure!
Betty said, like a seizure, and it
no,
sort of
I
was.
Said, you had a seizure!
Yeah, so you'll hear that. but anyway, so now there are people who try to induce that in other people.
Oh.
On YouTube.
And it's called ASMR?
Yeah, if you just listen to it, ASMR. But of course, like anything, there are fetishists also who like to listen to it.
Yeah, we were easing our way around a certain word.
Yeah. But it's not exactly the same.
Because it's...
So there you go. That's what's going on.
All right.
And Betty, thoughts before we go?
I hate almost everything.
Wait, what?
I'm being funny.
Okay. All right.
Alrighty.
All right. So Ben, I guess that's about it.
And with that,
I'll try to find that thing. Yeah.
Find the thing. Send me the thing.
Yeah, and Ben, keep it wrong.
Keep it wrong, Paul.
All right, I'll see you.
Yep. Talk to you next week.
Yep.